Take your Bibles and go to Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3. We're going to read verses 21 to 26. I'll read verse 21 and you read verse 22 with me. I don't mind giving you the name of the sermon. The name of the sermon is Four Reasons Fear is Foolish. Or you could say Why Fear is Foolish. Job chapter 3 and verse 21. I'll read verse 21. You read verse 22 with me. Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3 and verse 21. Which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. And let's pray. Father, please. I wish you could use this truth this morning. I wish each person here could be strengthened and helped. Lord, open our eyes, give us understanding, and Lord, help us please to apply your word to our lives so that we can be better for it, our homes can be more peaceful, our lives can be more joyful, and Lord, please bless these people in Jesus' name. Amen. My text verse is verse number 25. Says, the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. And here's Job. He's lost his business. All 10 of his children have been killed. His body's covered in boils. There's pus coming out of them. His friends are around. And he says, the thing which I feared the most is now on me. And he says, that which I was afraid of has come unto me. It's a pretty famous verse, and there's a lot of truth that can come out of it. It says here in verse 26, I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. In other words, he was saying, all of my worry means nothing. My fear, it didn't help me now that I'm in the situation that I feared. Y'all see that at the end of the verse? It says here, yet trouble came. So, I want to draw some conclusions this morning on why fear is such a foolish way to live. And there's some people, we used to call them in the Marine Corps, we used to call them spazzes. Every time something happened, somebody would spazz. What? Oh my goodness, we're going to blah, blah, blah. It's like, quit spazzing. There are Christians that live that way. Anytime something happens, pow, I mean, they're just an explosive button and they go off. Reason goes out the window. And they always say, panic does more damage than it has ever fixed. Now, I'm going to show you some things about worry this morning. But if I draw that conclusion from verse 25, the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. How come fear is so foolish? Well, I think number one, fear can bring to you what you fear. That doesn't mean if you fear it, it's going to happen to you. But when you worry about, look, you know what helps me in my Christian life is if I'm plagued with it, I pray about it. I'd rather pray about it than sit and, well, what if and what if and what if and then what if and what if and you can what if yourself to death. And you don't know everything. Let me say it again. Your fear can bring what you fear. Like you can worry yourself into a heart attack. I've seen that happen. You can fear yourself into a nervous breakdown, an anxiety attack, a stroke. It doesn't help you. There's nothing good that comes from you not managing your emotions. It only... I'm convinced God never intended for you to operate that way. I love this statement. God never intended for you to go through life by yourself. Somebody, my family member, was telling me last week, this sure is hard what we're going through. I've never been through this before. And my statement on the phone was, aren't you glad you don't have to do it by yourself? You know what they said to me? They said, thank you. I needed to hear that. I said, aren't you glad you never have to do anything by yourself? Now you can if you want, and that'll be what hurts you. Well, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and then we got to do this, and we got to... Have you prayed about it? And that's not a cliche. That's not a cliche. So your fear can bring you other problems. That's why, you know, we've heard the story of the man on the airplane who was so scared it was going to crash, he has a heart attack. Then he dies, and the plane lands safely, and he goes to the morgue. Well, wasn't that helpful? Okay. His fear brought him problems. Can you take your Bible, and we'll come back to Job, but go to the New Testament. Go to Matthew 14. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew 14. Look at verse 22. Watch this. Now, I'm going to point some things out, and then we'll move on to the next point here. But Matthew 14, look at verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained. You know what the word constrained mean? It means to help and encourage and almost push. Hurry up. Come on. Get into the boat. He constrained them to get into the boat. Come on. Get into the boat. Well, I don't know. No, come here. Come here. Get into the boat. Jesus is telling the disciples and constraining them, his disciples, to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. I'm going to come back to that, but watch what happens. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. So Jesus is on the mountaintop and the disciples are in the ship. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. That means everything they're, these are fishermen, they know what they're doing in a boat, and everything they're doing is contrary, and this is a storm that is fighting them. Now, wait a second. A couple hours ago, Jesus was encouraging them to get into the ship. Did Jesus know what was going to happen? Did Jesus know that he was not going to be in the ship with them? Yes. He knows what's coming. So can you picture these experienced fishermen in a boat going, come on, row this way. It's not, I'm telling you, it's not working. And the wind is fighting them, and they're in a storm, and then watch what happens. And in the fourth watch of the night, that's somewhere around 3 in the morning, 3 or 4 in the morning, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And the next verse, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. What I think is so amazing about this story is here comes Jesus walking on the water, and he's the only one that can help them. And instead of seeing him as someone who can help them, that, oh no, they're scared of the one who has come to help them. And they're fighting the winds for fear. And then look at verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. The calamity of the moment caused them to not recognize who Jesus was and the help he wanted to give them. Now he has to talk them into it, and he does. We know the rest of the story. He calms the ocean. He gets in the boat. But their fear caused them, and if you aren't careful, what God's trying to help you with, you won't see because you're in such a panic about everything you're going through, and what God wants to help you with, you're, and Jesus is going, calm down. I can't help you when you're in panic mode. You don't recognize me. You don't recognize Bible truth. You can't be taught. You're just in a constant frenzy. And Jesus says, settle down and look at me. I'm your only hope. I've come here to help you, but you have to calm down if I'm going to help you. That's one fear. Nothing. Yeah, I hope if you don't take anything from the sermon this morning, fear, there is no good that comes from fear. Ever, ever. All of us get scared, but you have to learn to manage it. And it is never supposed to control you or your decisions. Now, that's Matthew 14. Now, number two, go back to Job, chapter 23. I said, number one, your fear can bring you what you fear. In other words, it can cause other problems. Number two, how come fear is so foolish? You're going to Job 23. Your fear can bring troubles with your troubles. Job chapter 23, and just some beautiful verses here. Verse 14 is what I'm going to focus on with you, but watch this. Look at verse 11. Job 23, verse 11. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I wish you'd mark verse 12. Watch this. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Here's Job in the loss of his family, his job, his health. And he says, when that happens, when calamity hits, the words of the mouth of the Lord are more necessary than my necessary food. My spiritual food is more important to me than my physical food. And I'd rather skip breakfast or skip lunch or skip supper than I would reading my Bible. Because right now, if I've ever needed anything, I need God's Word. I have esteemed the words of his mouth, this, the Bible, more than my necessary food. And I might miss a meal, but I'm in the hardest, deepest valley of my life right now, and I'm not going to miss my Bible. Amen? And watch this. You want to know something really neat? Job didn't even have a Bible. Did you know that? He didn't have what you and I have. But he said God's Word, as God has shown him and spoke to his heart, was so vital to him. He says, what God has told me is so important to me right now. And then he says here, look at verse number 13. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth, watch this, God, performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. God is doing the thing that he has made an appointment for me to be with. You all see the appointed? He's doing what he's appointed for me. I like what somebody said. When your car breaks down and you're changing your tire in the rain, you know, you're working with that stupid car jack, you know, your car had a flat on schedule. It was planned 20 years ago. God had an appointment. I'm going through what God has appointed for me to go through. And as long as I know God's in charge, see, that's what fear does. You forget that God is in control. I didn't say that God's reigning, and I'll get into this here in just a minute, but God's in control. God knows what's going on. God, do you really know what I'm going through? God says, yes, I know exactly what you're going through. I appointed what you're going through. I had it planned. Okay, yesterday morning before you got up, I knew what was going to happen today. Neat verse to think about. The thing that is appointed for me, there's verse 15, therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. So your fear can bring troubles with your troubles. It increases it. All it does is just multiply the problems. Now, number next. If the trouble is never realized, you ended up giving yourself problems by being plagued with fear, and it was needless. I've told you before, there's not one single good thing that fear can do. Worry is money paid on a bill that never comes due. I like what John Wesley said. I'm not a John Wesley total fan, but I like what he said. I would no more worry than I would cuss or swear. And if I find myself worrying, I confess it as a sin to God. God, I'm sorry, I'm not trusting you. That'll help you. That'll help you. I'm not supposed to live in fear. Well, what if, and what if, and but you don't understand. This could happen, and this could happen. 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. I've told you, you've heard me say this as your pastor before. God never leads you with fear. And there should be never a decision you make out of fear. Satan will. Satan will get you running. But God doesn't lead you that way. God leads you with peace and surety and quietness. But the devil gets you dancing while he shoots. Pew, 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 doesn't he? Isaiah chapter, you know what? Go to Isaiah chapter 41. Watch this. Isaiah chapter 41. I want to show you a couple of verses here. Isaiah chapter 41. I've told you before, I do think I could get harder in this sermon and say fear is sinful. I'd rather address it why you shouldn't fear. I feared before. I get scared. I've been terrified before. I've been in places where I had to get a hold of myself and relax and look up to the Lord and say, okay, God. We were going through an obstacle course over in Korea, and it was my first time going through Constantina wire. And Kate knows what I'm talking about. And to go through Constantina wire, they got razor blades on it, going all the way around it. And so we were working our way through this obstacle course, and it taught me an important lesson. And you know, my corporal, he goes through it, and then I was a private then, and then the Lance Corporal, he goes through it, and I was the last one to go through this hole in the Constantina wire. It's Constantina, 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 three rolls of it, and they had made a thing. And so I started working my way through, and man, one of those razors caught me. Well, I tensed up, and when I tensed up, another one hit me. And I got in the middle of those razor blades, and I was getting cut to shreds. And I was like, and I panicked. And I went, ah! And my corporal grabbed me, grabbed my helmet, and he looked right at me. He said, if you don't relax, you'll never get out of it. Relax. And I was like, but it's cutting me. I had blood coming out everywhere. He said, I'm telling you, relax. And I went, and then they start. He said, now I can pull you out. Interesting lesson. When you're panicking, just like the ship and the disciples, Jesus says, I can't help you when you're freaking out. Settle down, be still, and know that I am God and I can work. But when you're, God says, I'll wait until you're... Look, don't they do that when somebody's drowning? Swim out, and they tell the person, look, I'm either going to have to let you pass out, or you're going to have to stop thrashing, but I can't save you if you don't stop kicking and thrashing, right? The trust has to go in the person that you're, can't swim, you know, and they're pulling you in. Stop thrashing. It's a lesson, yes, of a situation, but it carries through with life. Be still and know that I am God. You're there in Isaiah chapter 41. I want you to notice two phrases in Isaiah 41. There's two phrases that are mentioned three times in three verses. Watch this. Fear thou, verse 10, fear thou not. There's the first time. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, notice this next phrase, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now look down at verse 13. For the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, here it is for the second time, fear not. There it is the second time, look at the next phrase, I will help thee. There it is the second time. Look at verse 14. Fear not. There it is the third time. Thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. Here we go. Here's the second phrase for the third time. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Three times God says, fear not, and three times God says, I will help you. But you have to get a hold of your fear and stop fearing. Trust me. Fear thou not. Did you know in the Bible, God tells us 366 times, fear thou not. 365 days in a year. There's one for every day of the year. And, hey, one for leap year. Isn't that good? And then God says, I'll help you. I can help you when you stop fearing. Get a hold of yourself. Don't allow yourself to fear. I said number one, your fear brings what you fear. That's why it's foolish. Your fear brings troubles with the trouble itself. I said number three, if the trouble is never realized, you gave yourself problems by being plagued with fear and you lived in panic. Number four, when you fear, the best thing you can do is read your Bible so your faith is strengthened to trust and believe God. I want you to see it, Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, go in your Bible to Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, 17. We sang the song, in times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, Oh, be not idle, be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds. My trust is in. Look, when I was on the phone with that family member last week and I said, aren't you glad you don't have to go through it alone? Then they said, you know, everything in my life is changing. And the Lord helped me. I was praying, Lord, please help me be a blessing because I love them to death. And they said, everything in my life's changing. And I said, there's one thing in your life that'll never change. And that's the Bible. God never changes. Everything else will. You don't know if your house is going to be there tomorrow. You don't know. We don't know when our spouse is leaving us, right? But you do know one thing. The Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. You do know that. There is one thing that is constant that you can depend on. Look at Romans 10:17. Ready? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more I hear the word of God, the more my faith is built to trust God. So one of the best things I can do is read my Bible. One of the best things I can do is put the Bible on so I can hear it playing in the background. One of the best things I can do is memorize the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more I hear that book, the more I hear it preached, the more I hear it read, the more my faith is increased so I can trust God. So one of the fastest, okay, there's a verse I want you to see. I've loved it for a long time. Go to Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Just a beautiful verse. And you probably just stay here for a whole truth and sermon. But Isaiah chapter 26 and look at verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. You say, well, how come reading my Bible helps me so much? Because God says in Isaiah 26, verse 3. Ready? Everybody there? Thou, says here, wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Look, if you want to listen to the news all day long, if you spend more time listening to the news than you do reading your Bible, I promise you, you're a panic attack. I don't know what to tell you. I can only listen to so much of the news. Did you hear about this and this? And no, now the day. I mean, you know, I was joking with my wife last night. I said, hon, I said, you know what old people do? They sit around and watch the weather channel on mute.
Hey, there's a hurricane in Greece,
you know. I said, we could either watch the weather channel or we could watch the coronavirus map from John Hopkins University.
Hey, it just went up one. Hey, another person just died.
My wife said, hon. I don't want to live in that. I don't mind an update, all that. But if you listen to the news more than you read your Bible, you're going to freak out. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And the more you could hear the Bible, the more you could stay in your Bible. Let me tell you, I think, you want me to prophesy what I think? I think it's going to get worse. I meant what I said. I think everybody's going to get it. The containment's failed. The virus is now going to be something that we live with like we live with the flu. They say what makes this virus rough is once you get it, you can turn around and get it the second and the third time. It's just something, it was a bioweapon. It was made in America. It was sold to China. It's a bioweapon. It's a manufactured disease. Okay, what are you going to do? What am I going to do about it? Nothing. Take the right things, put good things in your body. Keep your fluids up, do all that, and live for Jesus. Amen?
No, I want a bubble.
I don't. I don't want a bubble. Amen? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Keep your mind on the Lord. Keep your mind on the Bible. And here we go. Now go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. You're in Isaiah. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. You know, when you're not living for God and you don't care about the things of the Lord, you have reason to be scared. But when you're serving God and you're doing what God wants you to do, and you're interested in God's will, I love this statement. I'm invincible as long as I'm doing what God wants me to do. You know when I'm going to die? When God's ready for me to die. And until then, I'm immortal when I'm in God's will. Now, if you're the party freak and you doing marijuana because it's legal and liquor doesn't matter to you and the will of God doesn't matter, yeah, I'd live in fear because the devil's got reign at you, right? You can read 1 Timothy for that. That's a different Bible study. But when I'm in the will of God, God tells me, if it happens to me, it happens for my good. Look at Romans 8:28. Ready? And we know that all things worketh together for good, not for everybody, but to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And if you don't understand verse 29 and 30, you could definitely understand verse 31. Look at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What a verse. If you're living in the will of God and you're trying to do what's right, look, I have God's protection because I'm God's child. All God's children don't have God's protection. It's not because I'm a pastor. But when you love God, God sees that. When you want God's will, God, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to live my life the way you want me to live it. God says, then I have that assurance of knowing if something happens to me, it is for my good, even though it doesn't feel good at the time. If I lose one of my family members, it's for my good, even though I wouldn't have gone through it. I wouldn't have chosen it. But we know all things work together for good to them that love God. All you got to do is love God. Love Him with all your heart, mind, soul. Give God your heart. Love God. Live for God. And let God handle the rest. Amen? And God says He'll make it work for good. He may not immediately handle it, but God says all things, we know it. We don't think, we don't hope, we know all things work together for good to them that love God. That's a promise of God. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And all I got to do is love God and let Him handle it. Lord, what if, what if, what if, and if, maybe, and this, maybe. Let it go. I don't live like an ostrich with my head in the sand. I don't live in denial. I just try to love God and let Him handle what I don't understand. Because there's going to be things that are happening that I don't. Ready? Because that's Romans. Now, watch this. Let's go to Job. Now that you understand Job, Romans chapter 8, let's go to Job chapter 1. So when you love God, when God's important to you, when God's word is important, when you want to do what's right, that does matter. When you love God, God says He handles everything else that you don't understand. Now that you know that, let's look at Job, and I think this will come into focus. Look at verse 6. Job chapter 1, right before Psalms. Job chapter 1, look at verse 6. There was a day when the sons of God, or the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth now thy hand, and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face. Satan was telling God, Job doesn't love you. He loves what you do for him. You put a protection around him, you blessed his home, you blessed his family. You remove any of that, and Satan tells God, he'll cuss you to your face. You let him go through a hard time. And God said, no, he loves me more than that. You know, one lesson I learned when I read the book of Job, God likes to brag on us. Hast thou considered my servant, Greg Nash? Satan says, he doesn't love you. He loves you because you've given him nice clothes, and he's got a nice church. You let him go through hard times, though, and he'll cuss you to your face. Right? Did you know Satan says that about you? Hast thou considered my servant? They don't love you, God. They just love you for what you do for them. But you quit doing it. You let them experience hard times, and they'll quit on you. What a lesson, right? Keep on going. Notice this. It says here, verse 12, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And you can read the rest of the chapter. He loses his business. His children are killed in one day. 10 children. You know what that's? I just wrote down. Listen, nothing can happen to you without God's permission. If you're living in the will of God, like Romans 8:28 says, and you're loving God like you're supposed to, nothing can happen. Satan cannot do anything to you without getting God's permission. Amen? Now, look at chapter 2. Ready? Look at verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, as thou can... Here we go again. Considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thy hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, watch, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. You know what a boil is? It's an oversized pimple. So from the sole of his feet to the top of his head, boils. And they're very painful. They do nothing but hurt. Can you imagine in the armpits, everywhere? And it says he sat and scraped himself, the pus that was coming out of the wounds. You know what that teaches me? Job chapter 1 tells me, nothing can happen to you when you love God like you're supposed to and you put God first in your life. Nothing can happen to you without God's permission. You know what Job chapter 2 teaches me? You don't even get sick without God's permission. Right? Isn't that what happened? Satan said, you let me smite his body with boils. He'll cuss you to your face. You know what? If the day comes where I'm smitten, I hope I can respond like Job did. Look at the end of chapter 1. Ready? Look at verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. And look what he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. I love the end of the verse, the end of the chapter. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I hope when my day comes, I hope I'm as faithful as Job. If my health is taken, if the hard time and the tragedy comes, I hope I don't shake my fist at God. Would you do this for me? I've served you and then you do... I've watched people do that. I've watched people get bitter and angry at God. I'd like to be like Job. Like Job. Can you leave this morning thinking, there's nothing, when you love God, there's nothing that can happen to you without God's permission. If you want to talk about coronavirus, you know how come I'm not worried about it? Because you can't even get sick without God's permission. Fear is foolish. I learn that as I read the Bible. Nothing good comes from it. I hope this morning's lesson encourages you to trust the Lord. Don't allow yourself to fear. I will not live in fear. I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to love Him. And whatever tomorrow holds, whatever next week holds, you know what? God's in control. My faith is in Him. It's not in this world. Amen. I hope that's a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, please, I wish this truth could be a help to each person here. Strengthen your people, please. Help us as your children. And Lord,